In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight I want to talk about the things that we remember on this holy night, Maundy Thursday. Things we remember on this holy night. Indeed, tonight, and to borrow a phrase from our reading from Exodus 12, tonight is a night of remembrance, a night of remembrance for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And to remember in the biblical sense of the word means a great deal more than just a passing thought. Indeed, anamnesis, which is the Greek word for remembrance, is in Jesus' words, do this in remembrance of me. Anamnesis means to give your whole attention, your whole undivided attention to a thing, even to, if you will, to relive a thing, which in many respects is what we're going to be doing tonight. Indeed, there are five things that we remember on this night, Maundy Thursday, and the first is the mandatum novum. The mandatum novum, which is Latin for new commandment. Indeed, it's from the Latin word for commandment, mandatum, that this day derives its name, Maundy Thursday. There's a Thursday of the mandatum. Based on what Jesus said on this very night, the night that he was betrayed, which is recorded for us in John 13. In fact, it was just the last few verses of the text that we read in the gospel tonight. And Jesus said, a new commandment, a mandatum novum. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another like I love you. And so as believers, we're called not just to love one another, which oftentimes translates into us loving the believers that we like and not loving the ones we don't like so much. Rather, the new commandment, the mandatum novum, is to love one another in just the same way that Jesus loves us. That is to say, our calling as followers of Jesus Christ is to love even those who may displease us, even those who may mistreat us, or to put it as Jesus puts it in another place, to show love and kindness even to an enemy. Indeed, it's interesting to note that Jesus didn't even have to leave that table where he was on this night, where he celebrated the first Holy Communion, to find an enemy. Peter, who denied him, and Judas, who betrayed him, they were both there. And he showed both of them nothing but love, not hatred, not resentment, not contempt, but only love. And this is our calling, to love as Jesus loves. And when we really love each other as Christ loves, we show ourselves to be true disciples of his. And when we don't love as he loves, we show ourselves to be something else. And so that's the first thing we remember tonight. The mandatum novum. Secondly, we remember Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is really an extraordinary thing if we remember the culture in which Jesus was doing it. Indeed, in Jesus' day, to touch another person's feet was considered the height of a personally degrading act. Indeed, in Jesus' day, only slaves touched other people's feet, taking off the sandals of their betters and washing their feet, if that's what their betters required them to do. And this, by the way, was why Peter balked and then even protested when Jesus tried to wash his feet. Peter thought that that was degrading to Jesus, the Messiah, for him to wash the disciples' feet. But the lesson of the foot washing is that we're all called to serve one another, not grudgingly or with misgivings, but rather willingly and humbly and cheerfully, no matter how humble the service, even as Jesus serves each one of us in what some might consider a degrading act. And so that's the second thing we remember tonight, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Thirdly, we remember the Holy Communion, which Jesus initiated, instituted on this very night, even modeling for us how we are to do it when we do it. Indeed, we take the bread because Jesus took the bread, and we bless the bread because Jesus blessed it, and we break the bread, which is his body, sacramentally, and we eat the bread and we share the bread, and that's because that's what Jesus did. And then we do likewise with the wine. Do this, he said. And then he showed us. And so when we do so, we not only remember with our minds what Jesus did, but we actually relive what he did with our own hands. And when we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving, because Jesus is the bread of life. And unless we receive him and believe in him and feed on him in our hearts by faith, we cannot know eternal life. Indeed, this is what Jesus said himself in the same Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 51. He said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is true drink. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me. And as I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will also live because of me. And so that's the third thing we remember tonight, the Holy Communion. Fourthly, we remember the denial of Peter. Indeed, Jesus made it very clear to the disciples that on this night, he told them all that was going to happen, and that one of them was going to betray him. Someone was going to betray him into the hands of his enemies, and that he would be arrested, and that on this night he would suffer and his passion would begin. But Peter pledged to Jesus undying loyalty, no matter what. And he said, even if all forsake you, I won't forsake you. Indeed, Peter says in Luke 22 and verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And in the next verse, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Luke 22 and verse 34, and Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this night until you deny me three times, that you deny that you even know who I am. And that's exactly what Peter did. Indeed, when Jesus could have really used a friend, Peter, in order to save his own skin, Peter denied he even knew who Jesus was, and then the cock crowed. And to be like Jesus is to know what it's like to be forsaken by a friend who has pledged undying loyalty. and then doesn't in order to serve his or her own best interest. Have you ever experienced that? Not to despair. That makes you a little more like Jesus. And so that's the fourth thing we remember tonight, the denial of Peter. Finally, we remember this night the betrayal of Judas. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus allowed Judas to be and remain a member of his apostolic band, even though he knew all about Judas. But he did. Jesus sent Judas on mission with the rest of the disciples, and Jesus washed Judas's feet, and he served Judas bread and wine at the first communion. And this all the while Jesus knew just exactly who Judas really was. In fact, again, in this same Gospel of John, in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 66, we read, "And after this, after Jesus said some things that the crowd didn't like, many of Jesus' followers turned back and no longer walked with him. And so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" And John says Jesus spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. And Judas did betray him into the hands of his enemies, very dangerous enemies, for money. And with a kiss of hypocrisy. And tonight when we strip the altar and slam the door and the lights go dim and we leave in silence, we will remember Judas's betrayal and Jesus's capture to suffer and die that we might be saved from the power and penalty of our sin. Just as the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before it even happened. Isaiah 53, and beginning at verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that's what we remember on this holy night. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.